You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome, welcome. I am your host, Dr. Michelle, and you're with me today on Dr. Michelle Live. You can call and weigh in for anything you'd like. Give a new subject. Let's talk it over. Let's do whatever. You can also text me, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. You can also email me, dmlive@breadboxmedia.com. So I am sitting here in sunny Southern California, where the weather, where I am is not always that gorgeous 75 degrees, but it does probably in the 80s to close to 90s today, I would guess. But it's pretty nice, pretty mild, pretty semi-arid. And, you know, it's like, okay, yeah. But what about when people are in a constant storm, when they think the waters are calm and they find that the whole world blows up around them with just a phone call? They get in their cars, they're starting to look at their little daisies blooming, which are blooming right in my backyard right now. You look at those kinds of things and then you get that call, or someone tells you something, or someone is really in dire need, or you walk down the street or drive down the street and you see homeless person after homeless person after homeless person, and you just think, what in the world is happening? And it seems to just get away from you. You're overwhelmed. What do you do when you're overwhelmed? 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. We're going to put out some pretty unanswerable questions in some respects today, people who are overwhelmed and don't know what to do about it. And so therefore, by definition, they don't know what to do about it. They can't find an answer. And we can try oftentimes and look to anything. Scrambling. Have you ever done that? I've done it. I did it for a while this morning, even, where there was something that occurred and I woke up thinking about it 4 o'clock in the morning. I get a phone call. Nothing is terrible right now, but, it's like I'm thinking, I'm seeing all these things in front of me, these inevitabilities. As you walk through life and you have hope, and then the inevitabilities sink in. And so what do you do? Do you continue to have hope that the inevitabilities won't be inevitable? Do you continue have hope that there is a reason? There's not just a reason. A reason is never good enough, is it? You know, why did they have to die? Why did it have to go this way? Well, it went that way. They died. We can find out. We can do autopsies on our relationships. We can do autopsies on our personalities. We can do autopsies on our vices and our addictions. We can do autopsies on our loved ones who died. And I'm not equating the good things with the negative things, such as those things you really do want to eventually do. You don't want to even do an autopsy. You just want to get rid of your addictions and your problems. Of course you do. But, you know, sometimes you just feel overwhelmed. A woman I know, I don't even know her that well, but we kind of hit it off, and just a nice, sweet lady, and she's got a couple kids and divorced. And, you know, she's been divorced for many, many, many years. Many years. I think it's been like 8 years, 9 years. And she's had a couple of good long-term relationships, but, it's like all of a sudden, everything out of the blue, and nothing unnatural, but everything's happening. A daughter's going off to college. Another daughter wants to go and live with her father all at the same time. All of a sudden, this house, this home, that has been a rental home, her home that she had to leave when she divorced, is literally 20 minutes away. Passes it all the time. Big, beautiful, stable home, bought with tender, loving care. Furnished, tender, loving care. For the kids in mind, for the people in mind. A religious person, religious family. So what happens? And then what do you do when it happens? And what do you do if you want something to occur in that family? You want to make it work. You don't know how to do it. And you find you end up just making it worse. You ever try to bail out something you have too much liquid in, and all of a sudden you realize that if the liquid just keeps filling up and filling up and filling up, you got a little leak somewhere and you just don't know what to do. You can't seem to bail out. Can't bail it out. You can't fix it. It's too far gone. And then sometimes you hear, or it's happened to you before, where it's too far gone, you know it's too far gone, comes back. And then it's like, well, what's that? If that happened then, why can't it happen now? And it doesn't. So all these vagaries that I'm discussing here, we're going to get into Ezekiel a little bit, because as I was looking out the window at the birds and the hummingbirds and the green, and I was pondering this conversation that I had late last night, maybe 11 o'clock at night. And well, that's late for me when you're having a conversation with someone who's hurting. And then this morning, getting a couple of phone calls, you know, very, very early from another part of the country, different time zone. And, you know, it's like, it just makes you wonder. And then I open up to Ezekiel, and the first thing I see in here, as I'm reading, it says, "There the hand of Yahweh came on me. I looked, a stormy wind blew from the north, a great cloud with light around it, a fire with flashes, which flashes lightning darted, and in the center a sheen like bronze at the heart of the fire. In the center I saw what seemed four animals. They looked like this. They were of human form. Each had four faces. Each had four wings. Their legs were straight. They had hooves like oxen, glittering like polished brass. Human hands showed under their wings. The faces of all four were turned to the four quarters. Their wings touched each other. They did not turn as they moved. Each one went straight forward. As to what they looked like, they had human faces, and all four had a lion's face to the right, and all four had a bull's face to the left, and all four had an eagle's face. Their wings were spread upwards. Each had two wings that touched, and two wings that covered his body, and they were all straight forward. They went where the Spirit urged them. They did not turn as they moved." Then he goes on to talk about, between these animals, something could be seen. This is the vision. This is the vision of the chariot of Yahweh. And so as I'm opening up to the living word, asking for a word, I'm looking at this and I'm thinking, so what do we do? We lost connection. How about that? Talk about being disconnected. What I did, I started out, maybe you lost some of this, so I'll try to just do a little recap. We're talking about a conversation late last night with a woman who's been divorced a very long time. And, you know, pretty okay with it, but not really. The pain never really goes away. As Elie Wiesel once said about something way more significant. Well, I can't say it's way more. Well, it is way more significant in a global sense. But he said, time does not heal all wounds. It just buries them in very shallow graves. And we find that we want to be done. And there are some people who are blessed and they get done. They get done with the feeling. They don't have to feel it anymore. They get cleansed. It goes away. And they report it goes away forever. But most of us are not so lucky. So here I'm looking at Ezekiel. I read Ezekiel. I'm not quite sure where we left off and when we disconnected with Ezekiel. But it was in the vision of the chariot of Yahweh, in the introduction of Ezekiel. And so, in the book of Ezekiel. And I'm thinking, as I was remarking, maybe when we were disconnected, I'm remarking to you all, I'm asking for a word. And in light of the relationships, the down to earth, the person who's comes around in her shorts and her t-shirt and her little ball cap and walks the dog and drives her son to Walmart to get something for his dorm room. I mean, and also her daughter, who's also gone or going to go, and her other daughter, you know, it's like, what's this about? These people, these children, the one goes, well, okay, I can handle that. Now the daughter comes up and now the other daughter wants to leave. So what happens? Three children. And she's faced with the rekindling of all this pain. So I asked for a word. Okay, so I sure, we'll do a word. Maybe we'll talk about something like this, about relationships. And that word comes from Ezekiel. And we're looking at beasts and mythical figures. Well, let's talk about it. 573-4BREAD-4. We're going to bring this one together on the other side of the break.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. We're going to the ethereal and the just seemingly nebulous soup of what I woke up in today, but a lot of people wake up in. And they were grasping, and the whole core here of my whole first segment is to give you an appreciation for something I know you experience. Having very pragmatic, very material, very black and white things in your face, having things coming up from the past that hurt like heck that you thought you were okay with, having them affect you unpredictably, reaching out everywhere for some help and finding lots of closed doors, and then going to the Bible and hoping for some help or a word or something, direction, comfort, chastisement, give me a bone, anything. And then you open up to Ezekiel. Well, I opened up to Ezekiel this morning and I'm thinking, really, how is this going to tie in with the lady that I know and all the stuff that went on with me? And we're talking about this chariot of fire. We're talking about the four faces. We're talking about each had wings and this creature had a face like a man and then a face like a bull and a face like a lion. And they're facing on these different directions. And this whole thing is a chariot of God. And what comes to me at this particular moment, and we'll get into Ezekiel a little bit more and tie that in, is that sometimes we can't know. We cannot know the big picture. And that hurts really bad. If we can, and this is what faith is, if we can see the outcome, or we can see indication, oh, you just do this, or they'll get theirs, or don't worry, it'll be okay, or go this way, or here, let me console you, then we feel like our faith is fulfilled. We feel like, okay, I get it. I'm glad I've got faith. Sometimes we don't have any of that. The woman in question with her daughter, who she thought would be home even after her son left for college, is gone. Now she wants, on the one hand, she loves this. She wants that daughter to go. She wants that daughter to have a life. It's time. And it's time in the household. And yet she never expected the feeling of loss to be triggered the way that it was triggered. And she couldn't identify it as loss. She identified it in anger, irritability, nothing going right, ex-husband's not pitching in, house is not going right. What am I going to do now? I better move. I don't need the space. And now my other one wants to go live with her father. Now what? Now what do I do? Still having to go to work, still having to think about her own life. Running around with, you know, looking around like she heard a loud noise somewhere, feeling very frantic. Well, it's in those moments, there are those people who don't get ruffled in the face. They just don't get ruffled. Their faith or their temperament, their faith and their temperament and their beliefs and their history and perhaps their support systems, they all seem to work together. But there are those of you out there who don't have some of those components. And so that when you hear someone say, you cannot do it alone. I heard this the other day on a Catholic station, actually, not ours. But I heard this, you cannot do it alone. You need all your community. You need people around you. And I just heard this silence in the ethosphere. Well, what if you don't have a community? What if you're the one laying in the hospital bed with pneumonia and you don't have anybody there but a nurse coming in and you don't really understand what they're talking about? Then what? What if you're the person who has held it together for their kids, done what they could do, put a lot of their own feelings aside and not process them, and then finding that in probably 2 weeks, they're going to be completely alone in a house that has three rooms that will be empty, three bedrooms that'll be empty, needing to move, wanting to move, needing a new start, not knowing how to do that. What do you do? And then you open up to something like Ezekiel, because you're trying to find answers and helpful things for people. So how is Ezekiel helpful? This is a living word. Is there a mistake with that? It's not the magic eight ball, but it is the living word. So I read further in Ezekiel. And Ezekiel goes on to talk about the chariot and the creatures and the running to and fro with the thunderbolts, and the animals were there at the chariot, and the wheels were glittering. And it says, where the Spirit urged them, there the wheels went. Since the spirit of the animal was in the wheels, when the animals moved on, they moved on. When the former halted, the latter halted. When the former left the ground, the wheels too left the ground, since the spirit of the animals was in the wheels. And then he goes on to describe this amazing, odd, science fiction-y thing with this big, gleaming, the heads kind of a vault above them, and this gleaming crystal, like a gleaming crystal, and under the vault, their wings stretched to one another, and you just this amazing thing. Then Ezekiel heard a noise, the noise of the wings as they moved, and it sounded like rushing water, like the voice of Shaddai, a noise for like a storm, like a noise of a camp. When they halted, they folded their wings. There was a noise. Above the vault, over their heads, was something that looked like a sapphire. It was shaped like a throne, and high upon this throne was a being that looked like a man. I saw him shine like bronze, close to and all around him. From what seemed his loins upwards was what looked like fire. And from what seemed his loins downwards, I saw what looked like fire and a light all around, like a bow in the cloud on a rainy day. That is how the surrounding light appeared. It was something that looked like the glory of Yahweh. I looked and prostrated myself and heard a voice speaking. All right, so we're going to stop there for a second. This fits. It fits in with the mom in her shorts and her tennis shoes and the little ball cap and her t-shirt and her trips to Walmart and her packing up the truck. It fits with that. Why? Why does it fit with your pain? Why does it fit with the loneliness? If nothing else, this may not reach out to comfort anyone. But one thing for certain it says, that if at this moment you were visited, as Ezekiel was, with this chariot, with this unspeakable, undefinable brilliance, there'd be nothing in your head but this. It would somehow consume you. You would be consumed. Body, soul, and mind, with this thing in front of you, with this amazing something. Now, we don't have to be that now. We are not right now anyway, Ezekiel. You're not right now anyway, Ezekiel. However, maybe you will be Rebecca, remembered always as Rebecca, if that's your name, or Joan, or Kimberly, or Caitlin, or John, or Lennon. Whatever your name is, you may be that Ezekiel. Ezekiel was not this Ezekiel until this day that this happened to him. And therein lies the idea of hope and faith. But at this point, do you think Ezekiel thought about hope? Do you think he thought about faith? Oh, I think I'll check to see how my faith is. He was too consumed with whatever this was, like the apostles on Mount Tabor. What's this light? You scramble to try to put together what is this? It's crazy. Try to put it in words. And I'm sure, you know, it's like a sapphire, like lightning, like a storm. How frightening would that be? Well, in this life, in her life, the woman I'm telling you about, in my life, in your life, we have these storms all the time. And in these storms, there is the voice. Now, does it come down to our eyes in a big chariot? Sometimes there's a crash and burn with us, but it's there nonetheless. It has come, he has come bigger than life many times to show us that it is bigger than life. But it's not going to happen all the time, or else it'd be happening a billion times a day and we'd never get anything done on the earth. So then what happens? The vision said, Son of man, stand up. Obviously, he was prostrated. He had no idea what to do. Stand up. I'm going to speak to you. And as he said these words, the Spirit came into me and made me stand up. And I heard him speaking to me. So, are you hearing a voice that says to you, did this mother hear a voice that said to her, somewhere in her, because the Spirit moved into her, stand up, I'm speaking to you. Stand up, I'm speaking to you. How about the person in the bed? Stand up, I'm speaking to you, even if you can't stand physically. Now, how does that play out in our day and our life right now today in 2016? We're going to talk about it in just a couple of minutes. This is Dr. Michelle.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app. Change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
Welcome back. I am your host, Dr. Michelle. You're walking with me today on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. So, boy, we're juxtaposing Ezekiel and the vision of the chariot of Yahweh with ball caps and tennis shoes and shorts and kids going off to college. It's important because it connects. So, when you have your particular moment of angst, loneliness, desperation, eating disorder, depression, anxiety, loss, death, illness, disappointment, betrayal. Who of you haven't felt those things? And you can look back on them and not have that same acute feeling inside of yourself. However, if you're going through it right now, as this woman is, if you're going through it right now, this is the pain, and nothing seems to help. When you burn yourself, sometimes you can put your finger under hot, under cold water, and sometimes it temporarily relieves it, but for just a split second, then you get used to it. So here we look, she looks, I look, you look to something, call a friend, the friend isn't there. Take a walk. It just feels awful. You feel alienated, alone. The old door song, people are strange when you're a stranger. You know, when you're a stranger, when you feel strange, when you feel like you just are out of place in time. If you've ever had a big hit, and many of you have, you know that there's a time where you walk around in a fog. You tend to dissociate sometimes with the bad feeling, and you feel nothing. It's like a state of mental shock. You know that feeling. So when we're looking today to say, okay, well, how do we deal with the little things? What about faith? How do I get comfort from my faith? Well, you can look at the living word, open the living word. You do the things that you need to do. But also too, you can go by a nice prescribed route, which is open up to some Psalms, open up to perhaps maybe one of your favorite passages for a little, at least if not inspiration, reminder. Then you can do certain things. When you move from it, sometimes you do just need a good cry. You do need to face them. You need to look at these things in front of you and just cry. But sometimes you cannot afford that moment. This woman could not afford that moment. Her daughter's getting ready. She's all excited. The other daughter's feeling very conflicted because she's chosen. She's made a choice. I want to go live with my dad. And no one wants to feel like they are rejecting, or no one wants the other person to feel like they're being rejected. But they all know that they're all going to feel that way. So it's really difficult to put on that face because you do it out of love, you do it out of caring, you do it because you know your emotions are there, but you also know that you need to move on through your day and make this, you're doing it for others. It's a selfless act. And at the same time, you're hurting inside. So what are some of the things that you do for this particular person, this mother? Well, she's just going to have a little bit more of a burden because she's not going to just be able to go volunteer somewhere today. She's not going to be able to just ignore it. She's going to have to look at the half taken apart bedrooms. She's going to look at their joy and their excitement of having a new life. She's going to have to look at the other child's dealing with the fact that they really want to go live with the father. They need that with the father. But knowing that on the other side of that, there is going to still be some troubles, but also knowing that it's a loss there. It's painful. You don't want to, you've nurtured this child. She's nurtured this child throughout all this time. And now she's just choosing to know her dad. So on the one hand, she wants her daughter to get that fulfillment and to get that relationship patched. On the other hand, it's a loss. She's saying goodbye at a time when she's saying goodbye to everything that's important in her life. But she's not really saying goodbye. You and I, as we do when we see movies, we've seen a movie, we know the outside. She even knows the outside of this. It's going to get better. It's going to reach its zenith of loss, and then it'll be okay. So what do we do then? What do we do? Well, if you're in a position where you can do this, you think about perhaps one, getting yourself away from a situation for a short period of time, another perspective. At first, it will feel as if you are not you're just walking through the motions, that at any moment you could cry. You go out, maybe have a cup of coffee somewhere, and all you do is see things that remind you of the thing that you're hurting about. You take a walk. You're doing okay for a second, and then you might see, maybe today she'll see a little child playing, like in that movie, The Passion, the scene where Mary is watching her son go up that hill with the cross. And she remembers him little. Still makes me cry to think about it. It was a beautiful scene. Did a good job there. good Hollywood there. So it was beautiful. But you know, God looks at you that way too. That's the thing. He doesn't forget anything. There's no forgetting. He's not a person. There's no twisting of history. There's no rewriting history. There's no writing you out of history. There's no betrayal there. He remembers everything. So he remembers her. It's very touching to me. He remembers her just like he remembers her kids, just like she's remembering her kids. And our Blessed Mother does the same for you. All day long, every day, a little tiny boy who I knew when he was 2, and now I think he's 13, 14, I think. I remember being in after Mass with him, and I was kind of carrying him around, and he and I would go, and he'd light candles. I'd let him, you know, take that long stick, and I'd lean him forward with the stick, and then you take care of it. And we went up to Mary, and we're going to light a candle, and he whispered, and he was just tiny, he was in diapers. He said, "She never sleeps." And that touched me so much. Because it's true, but he knew it. We say it, and do we really know it? We say it, and we'd like to believe it. We do believe it, kind of. But, you know, we think, oh, maybe we're metaphorical. No, not to him. She never sleeps. She is an entity. She is just as real as his own mother. So she is your mother. So she's there, too. She sees you that way. So as you go about your day, you can do little things, one, as you would for your own child, caretake you the way you would your own child. Perhaps distract him a little bit, or her, meaning you. Distract your inner self a little bit. Ponder if you need to ponder. Cry if you need to cry. Sleep if you need to sleep. Talk if you need to talk. And if you can't find one outlet, just like with a child, if one outlet doesn't work, well, you try another one. And sometimes we feel stupid doing it. We think we should be able to handle anything. Let me read to you what Teresa of Avila says. It's a very beautiful thing there as well. So we look at this about God, and I want to finish this about Ezekiel too. We look at this about God, but we also look at this about everything in life. May today there be peace within. May you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. May you not forget the infinite possibilities that are born of faith. May you use those gifts that you have received and pass on the love that has been given to you. May you be content knowing that you are a child of God. Let this presence settle into our bones and allow your soul the freedom to sing, dance, praise, and love. It is there for each and every one of you. Teresa of Avila, 1500s, Spanish Inquisition. Imprisoned, or at least held for a while. She also said, let nothing disturb you. Let nothing frighten you. Everything passes away except God. The consolation there, my friends, the consolation there is that in this moment, when you're saying goodbye to your children, when you feel disturbed, when you are alone in that room and you're not feeling that consolation, and there is no chariot there just making you prostrate on the ground, what do you do? You think about Teresa of Avila too. Trust God that you are exactly where you meant to be, and you can shake your head and say, it can't be. He can never mean me to be here. This can't happen. What about free will? I didn't choose to do this. But you are meant to be there. We'll find out why on the other side of the break. I also want to get back to Ezekiel, son of man, I'm going to speak to you. And we'll put that in there too. I am Dr. Michelle, 573-4BREAD-4.
You are listening to Breadbox Media Podcast. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world. You're listening to Dr. Michelle Live. Dr. Michelle is a Catholic psychiatrist. However, the views and opinions presented by Dr. Michelle are by no means medical advice. Please consult your doctor for official medical guidance.
And you are with me on Dr. Michelle Live, 573-4BREAD-4, 573-4BREAD-4. We read Teresa of Avila, which I want to read to you again, hopefully, if we have time before we close up for today, because it is very beautiful and it's something to keep with us. Because if you just take a few key words, peace within, trust God, you are exactly where you are meant to be, even though we fight against that. No, I can't be where God wants me to be because I've made too many mistakes in my life. I didn't go the route that God wanted me to be. God wanted me to be calm and follow my gifts and have children or not have children or be a singer or whatever God you feel was the path that would have been the richest for you. Or God wants me to be a better spouse. God wants me not to have been married 2 times or 3 times or whatever, how many times his mother had been married. God was not going to have me be hit by a car and in a hospital room. That's where he wants me to be. Are you kidding me? Teresa of Avila, living in the time of the Spanish Inquisition, and her spiritual mate, St. John of the Cross, who spent time in a latrine, imprisoned. May you trust God that you are exactly where you are meant to be. And do not forget, or she's wishing for you, may you not forget the infinite possibilities born of faith. Those gifts that you have received, pass them on with love. The love that has been given to you. Be content. That's something I can't do. I don't know about you. Be content. Be content? Why? How does that happen? How can this mom be content when everything that is said to her in a form, whether it was from me or other people or people outside, it's one of those days, it's one of those times in her life when, you know, hey, nice day today. And she'll, really? You know, let me tell you how it's not nice today. Everything is an irritation. Everything is a wind against a wound. If you've ever had a burn on your arm or some kind of wound, and it's so painful that even a wind hurts it. So you might be there right now. So confused. It's like, if I get one more thing, and then you get the one more thing. Teacher says your child has ADD, needs medication. And you go, oh, no, 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 no. Or I don't know. Let me see. What's the blah? Where do I go next? Doctor, what? Someone else turns up with hepatitis C in your family. Somebody else has an accident. Somebody else is diagnosed with dementia all on the same day. And then your wife comes in and asks for a divorce. It happens. How can I be content in that? Well, you can't in that second. As one of the Catholic, I think it was MacArthur, you can correct me, 573-4BREAD-4, if you'd like. I really don't know. I'd love to be corrected, or maybe I'll look it up when we're done with the program. But as he said when he was asked, do you pray on the battlefield? He said, I pray all the time. On the battlefield? No. When I'm on the battlefield, I have to fight. I pray before. I pray after. I pray if there's a pause. But I can't just get down on my knees and pray, because other people will get killed. I will get killed. I'm a soldier. So we are soldiers in our own way. Joan of Arc showed us the way. Saint Michael, the archangel, is a soldier. He's shown in battle clothes. He's got, like, you know, shields and things like swords and those leather vest things that are going to protect him from a sword. You know, this is what this is about. Teresa of Avila, in her own gentle way, was a soldier. She did not cave in. Let this presence settle into our bones, the presence of God, and allow your soul the freedom. It doesn't say start singing and dancing. It says allow it the freedom by letting this presence of God settle into your bone, and that it is there for each and every one of you, every single one, no matter what you've done, no matter where you've been, no matter if, as Elie Wiesel says, that pain is coming up inside of you because it was buried in a very shallow grave and somebody just blew the little bit of dirt over, you know, and so you're feeling it again. So when we go back to Ezekiel, and he says, stand up, I'm speaking to you. And then he says, down further, he said, and you, son of man, do not be afraid of them, because he says this, the Lord Yahweh says this, whether they listen or not, this set of rebels shall know there is a prophet among them. And that, of course, was Ezekiel. And you, son of man, do not be afraid of them. Do not be afraid when they say there are thorns all around you and scorpions under you. There's no need to be afraid either of their words or of their looks, for they are a set of rebels. You must deliver my words to them, whether they listen or not, for they are a set of rebels. So the word's going to be delivered somewhere. There's a word in this whole program and anything you do today. There's a word. There's a chariot that's come down. There's movement with the spirit. He didn't say that God stood there and carried on the conversation. He said that when he was laying prostrated, he was told to get up. He felt the spirit move inside of him. That's a big, important thing. And then he says, you, son of man, listen to my words. Do not be a rebel like that rebellious set. Open your mouth and eat what I'm about to give you. I looked, and a hand was there stretching out to me and holding a scroll. He unrolled it in front of me. It was written on back and front. On it was written lamentations, wailings, moanings. He said, son of man, eat what is given to you. Eat the scroll. Then go and speak to the house of Israel. I opened my mouth. He gave me the scroll to eat and said, son of man, feed and be satisfied by the scroll I am giving you. I ate it and it tasted as sweet as honey. Then he said, son of man, go to the house of Israel and tell them what I've said. You are not being sent to a nation that speaks a difficult foreign language. You are being sent to the house of Israel, not to a big nation that speaks a different language. Those words you would not understand if I sent you to them. They would not listen. But the house of Israel will not listen to you because it will not listen to me. The whole house of Israel is stubborn and obstinate, but now I will make you as defiant as they are and as obstinate as they are. I'm going to make your resolution as hard as diamond, and diamond is harder than flint. Do not be afraid of them. Do not be overawed by them, for they are a set of rebels. Okay. So, wow. That juxtaposed to Teresa of Avila, juxtaposed to a mom in her tennis shoes, her cutoff shorts, and her tank top or little t-shirt that she was wearing when I was talking to her, and her ball cap. Yes, it's all the same. Thousands of years ago, hundreds of years ago, a few hours ago. We're all soldiers. And we are all where we are supposed to be. We're all where we are meant to be. I don't understand it. And I will tell you, I don't like it, really. I don't like it. I don't like it. I don't want to feel this way when I feel this way. Do you? No. And it does. It doesn't make us feel better to know we are where we need to be. Some people can do that. I envy you. Shouldn't envy, but I do. However, when you eat the scroll, he says, eat it. And what was the scroll? He didn't say, here, eat this comfort. The scroll was full of wailing, lamentations, and moaning. So he eats this. He's digesting it. He is consuming it. The lamentations, the pain, the sorrow, the groaning, and the moaning. Ezekiel is consuming it. I presume so that he can understand, he can ingest, he can become, he can totally be with complete certainty able to be where they are at internally. He ingested it. And when you ingest a food, it will become part of you. Just as poison. If you ingest poison, it becomes a part of you, and that's how it kills you. It doesn't just pass through you. If you eat delicious, delicious, wonderful, nutritious food, it makes you stronger, better, healthier. It feeds every part of you. So today, know that if he says, look, water is and bread are going to be scarce. The moanings, groanings are going to be all around you, and they're going to try to confuse you. Yeah, you got a crummy life right now. They're going to try to tell you that. But I'm telling you, I'm going to make your resolve, your resolution is going to be hard as diamond. So why don't we try for that? The hard as diamond. Pray for the hard as diamond resolution. Know you are meant to be where you're meant, where you are right now. And know that it's for each and every one of us to understand this, love it, and embrace it. I am Dr. Michelle. See you tomorrow.
Thank you for listening to Breadbox Media Podcasts. Check out our live stream at breadboxmedia.com. Breadbox Media. Get the app, change the world.